Blog Talk Radio.
And here is what they say to me.
Tenderness and grace will remember all the hardships that I faced.
They say grandchildren are a parent's best friend,
and if you have kids of your own, you know the blues they make revenge.
You'll get the best band of the blues.
Today, but today.
got those bands.
Because, honey, you're going to poke your eye out. That's why.
Blue.
I know, weird choice of songs, but I went through my mother category and that came up. It's so true. We don't appreciate our mothers. I think my closest relationship was with my grandmother. Honestly, love her. I just posted a picture of her in honor of Alison Graham. And Alison Graham, if you are listening and by your phone, I'm about to open up your mic. So get ready. Sip your coffee. Here we go. Alison, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? That's a hilarious song you were playing. Where do you find this stuff?
That's actually by a group of mothers called Motherload.
I love it.
It's just a constant search. I looked for my mother's inappropriate. There are no grandmother songs, I'm thinking, unless I can find a Burl Ives tune somewhere. But anyway.
Well, I was dancing. I was
you're the only
to this one.
You were the only person who got the Burl Ives reference, by the way. But it's pretty. I love all your books, as I was telling the audience before. I love all your books, The Man
Thank
Translator
you.
And The Smart Girl's Guide to Getting Even. All wonderful, funny, funny books. And this one, I was trying to describe to my friend and publicist, Gail Parento, about your book. And it's just so inventive. And I went back and I was doing it twice, once for the words, and then I went back for the pictures. And
yes.
Maybe you can explain a little bit how you came up with this concept.
It was actually...
And explain the format that I'm describing.
Yeah, it's because you're right. I even have trouble describing it. One of the nicest comments I've been getting from readers is that it's unlike anything they've ever kind of read before, because when it was a very organic experience. I was a lifelong New Yorker, and for a variety of reasons, including just a need for a change of pace, my husband and I decided to move down to Florida in 2014, just to kind of try a whole new lifestyle. And what I found is, as a 40-something woman, you can still feel extremely homesick. And while we were unpacking, and I was missing everything. I was missing my parents. I was missing New York City. I was missing my whole New York life. It was a lot of adjustment. And as we were unpacking, my husband pulled out this handwritten journal that my grandmother, Grandma Mimi, had given me back in 1985 on Christmas as a gift.
Wow.
And in 1985, Nancy, I am sorry to say, I was your typical New York City teenager. I had the crimped hair. I had the pink bow in my hair. I was doing the Madonna look. And I wasn't paying attention to what my grandmother had given me, so I had never read it. Just kind of ended up going into, you know, bookshelves, and it moved with me everywhere I went and everything, but I had never really read it. And I cracked open this handwritten heirloom, which was the story of her life with pictures and her handwriting. And a lot of people have probably received similar things from their grandparents. And it just opened up a wellspring of emotions. And I thought, there's really something remarkable about this. So the book is about my experience reading this book that I should have read 30 years ago that I hadn't. So, and it's fully illustrated, which is kind of fun by me, which is kind of scary.
Well, you know what? I loved it. Well, first off, you know, because I'm... if you don't know Alice, and I've known her for years, that she has a penchant for giving you hand-drawn gifts. And if you're lucky, you might get one of her hand-drawn, which I love, because it's also on your blog. You do your drawings as well. So to say, when we say illustrations, I think we're being a little expansive here.
Yes.
In the illustrations. You would say, here's a photo of my family sitting on the steps, but it's not a photo. She drew what they would look like sitting on the steps in her definite style.
Exactly.
So
it's my interpretation of photographs. And so it's my hand-drawn interpretation of photographs. So I'm kind of hurt that the Louvre hasn't contacted me yet to open an exhibit on my behalf. I'm still waiting for that call.
Or the musical Sunday in the Park with George, the very has some Matisse-like qualities from it. What are the books, Allison? You know, my sister made me one, and they were like memory books.
Yeah.
That people were doing like scrap. You know what the name of it is? That can't think of the word for it. But it's like a scrapbook.
Right.
And so it would be combined with a picture and a bow. And it sort of was like reading the book because you combined actual photographs, I guess, of her handwriting.
Yes,
and
her handwriting is throughout the book, exactly. The book is a lot of my grandmother's actual handwriting. And that's what was such an amazing experience for me. You know, I've been writing for a long time, but I literally created this book from front to back. Everything in it is...
And I just want to backtrack just a little bit for the people who don't know this book. And it's Here's Why I Suck, Grandma, A Bedtime Story for Grown-Ups Who Need to Grow Up. And it's available on Amazon. Am I correct, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're on Amazon. Okay.
Yes, yes.
I want to backtrack just a little bit on the book because in it to explain, it's not just out of nowhere, you know. You had a relationship with your grandmother, but she was ill during most of that relationship?
Yeah, my grandmother died, she was 76, so she died in 1993, and we were very close. I'm an only child. She lived in New Jersey. She was widowed in her early 40s and had two sons, one of them being my father. We were very close, and I was one of those lucky grandkids who spent a lot of time with my grandmother growing up. However, because she had chronic heart disease, she was really housebound. And that's another very important aspect of this book is it's very interesting in this day and age. We live in such a world of instant gratification, and, you know, people can be halfway around the world and still connect literally instantly. And,
oh, now, yes, now.
Yeah, and back in, you know, my grandmother's in the 70s and the 80s and early 90s, that sort of stuff wasn't available to her. So physically, this handwritten heirloom that she gave me, I couldn't stop thinking about the physical exertion that it must have taken. I mean, you think about trying to tell the story of your life through pictures and handwritten words. That's a lot of work. Without the benefit of the internet and digital photography. So it was a real labor of love, what she gave me. And what I resented so much about myself, in my 40s now living in Florida and feeling terribly homesick, was reading this book for the first time because you just forget, you know, you forget about things that are in your closet and realizing that book was such a gift. So the book is sort of a handwritten and hand-drawn apology to my grandmother, a belated apology for not making the right decision the first time around when she gave me this as a teenager. And I think the experience with the feedback I've been getting, which is exactly what you want to accomplish with a book like this, is that it's a really emotional kind of light laughs and then kind of darker deeper.
I would step it up even to say if Kerouac could write a comic book, that it might be there, and that
wow,
it's very
thank
poetic.
You. it wasn't. It was
because
really an emotional thing.
It's really from the heart, and it's really, you could see that a lot of it's from the heart, and a lot of the sense of humor that goes into it too. And I also here's a quote I like. Honoring my past is just as critical as plotting out my future.
Yep.
And I love that quote. I put a little thing in the book for it because I didn't want to forget it. But I just thought that was so, it said so much about your relationship with your grandmother. And I guess we are, you're saying the 80s, right? So you were young then. And that, younger. And
yeah.
It was an age of everything is phones were coming in and computers were coming in and all this stuff was coming in. So we were being swirled by so much that sometimes you forget to honor what's right in front of you.
Yeah, and what was so interesting is reading her story, which she's telling directly to me in my handwritten heirloom that she gave me, is it's so interesting to read not only about, you know, ancestors that I never even knew I had, you know, where my great-great-grandparents came from, where she grew up, nicknames she had as a kid and all that. But even more so from the perspective of a woman who really, she was so fascinated and interested in the world, but it was a world that she really couldn't be a part of. You know, so I didn't have the same experience that a lot of grandchildren did. I didn't have a grandmother.
You must mention. Yeah, my grandmother was from a foreign country, Puerto Rico. She never spoke any English, and we were so close. She didn't speak a word of English, but we were so close. We were always laughing, and she was tiny. I mean, when I said like 4'7".
And cute, just like you, right?
But all I remember is singing. We were always singing, and we were always laughing. And everything cracked us up. And,
well, that must be where you got your sense of humor from.
I would like to think so. Two things. I'm opening the chat room because, hi, Mike, Marco Polo, Cyanide77 from outside of Amsterdam is listening in. So
wow.
You have a worldwide audience. And
wow.
He's in the chat room, so I have to acknowledge him. And now I want to backtrack just a little bit because I found fascinating, and we could share this because they could still get the book and we're not giving anything away, some of the gems that you found in her book, which were her hopes and aspirations,
yeah,
what she wanted to be. Could you share that, please?
She wanted to be a reporter, actually, and you know, she was born in Astoria, New York, and she didn't have a lot of opportunity. And she married my father was an Episcopal priest. My grandfather. If my father's an Episcopal priest, I don't know about it, and he's hidden it very well all these years. So my grandfather was an Episcopal priest, and I never got to meet him. He died before I was born, and unfortunately, I think he died. I don't think he was even 60 years old. So my grandmother already had two children. Now, in this day and age, that's still a commendable feat to be able to do that. Now picture it back in the 50s and the 60s doing
that.
Sure,
because how do you support your family? There are no jobs for women. There are,
Exactly,
it's
totally
not,
different,
you know,
generation.
What were your choices? Yeah, so what were your choices
and
of what
I
you
did
could
wonder,
do?
Because she didn't reveal, and maybe that's by choice, and maybe it's simply a question I had that it didn't occur to her. I've always been curious. Like, her biggest regret is that she didn't get to go to college. And my question in the book, because I really speak to my grandmother, it's kind of a conversation I'm having with this long-lost grandmother. And,
it is.
And,
yes, it is.
And my question is, you know, was she not able to go to college? Had the decision not to go been made for her by circumstances? Or is it an option she made in order to raise her children? And it's just fascinating because it's a different generation. My grandmother, like so many grandparents of all generations, was completely about her family. That was her joy. And you have to remember, this is a woman who lived in a tiny apartment in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and really was kind of often attached to an oxygen tank most of the time because her breathing was so labored. So the entire world outside of her, she had to get as much information as she could, and she was curious, and she was investigative, and she was interested, and she was interesting, too. She was very well-read, very funny.
Well, that's the part I would like to bring up is that your grandmother, when you said backing up to reporter,
yeah,
in a way she was. She gave you that book.
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. And the funny thing is, both of my parents were reporters. That's how they met. So I think in terms of, you know, as a 46-year-old woman now, I think, you know, what was that like for my grandmother? Her son, one of her sons is a reporter. The other one is a writer as well. And then, you know, my mother is a reporter. There's got to be a part where it's a little hard to see other people, you know, doing something that you weren't able to do. But then there's also the joy of knowing that because of the decisions you made, your son was able to pursue that dream. And
you, to an extent, are a reporter and an author because you have
been
published.
I notice you don't say artist,
so.
Nancy. Illustrator. yeah.
Well, again,
yeah, this is...
illustrator is a little expansive on that term because...
Still waiting for that call from the Louvre. Check the chat room. Make sure they're not trying to reach me.
I think maybe Basquette-like would be a description of some of these
of photos of Mootsie in the car.
Just for that, I'm going to punish you with a mural-sized rendition of one of these, babe, I promise you. But
we have
that
the chat room open, and also in the chat room we have listening today, Betty Jo Tucker is listening from Pueblo, Colorado. And Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Addict Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I had to get her plug in there because she's a lovely lady. And I will be starring in, or one of the actors, Allison, just so you know, in a movie on Betty Jo Tucker's book, It Had to Be Us.
Oh,
I'm playing
kidding.
One of her friends in the movie.
Oh,
it's a short
gosh.
Film, and it's going to be coming out this year sometime. So I'll give her a plug. She's also an author. And Betty Jo Tucker, by the way, is also living her dream, because she's published two books and she has a international radio show on the movies, her favorite passion. So
woo-hoo!
There you go. And I assume she's a grandmother. Betty Jo, are you a grandmother? She's type it in the chat room, please, and let me know. And again, you have Cyanide is listening from outside of Amsterdam. But it's true that you really did. It is an homage to your love for your grandmother. And I do think, did you have two grandmothers? I only grew up with one.
She's the one I knew. My other grandmother was not. She wasn't somebody that we had the same close relationship with on my mother's side, unfortunately, although was certainly a very cool woman. But this was the grandmother that was in my life daily.
I do think that there is a unique, at least for me and you, I don't know about other people, but, Betty Jo Tucker says, yes, I am a grandmother.
How many kids?
As well as a grandmother. Oh, I don't know, but I'm sure they're beautiful. There's a special bond that you do have for some reason. I don't know if it's just girls or guys and their grandfathers, but with your grandmother. There's just something to me with my grandmother, on my Spanish side mostly, not so much my Italian side, but because the Spanish side was more fun. but there's a special bond. I would call my grandmother in my bad Spanish every year. I would call her in Puerto Rico to wish her happy birthday, and we would struggle through a conversation with her terrible English and my mediocre Spanish. But there was always a bond that I had with her that I don't think I ever had with anybody else. I don't know if
totally,
you would say psychic or or kinetic.
Yeah, it's a
or,
completely different relationship. And you know, I envy people who still have their grandmothers and grandfathers in their lives. And again, I would have loved to have met my grandfather. That's a huge sadness for me. But like I say in the book, my father is literally a spitting image of his father, and apparently, from all I've heard, so much like his father that I sort of feel like I did know my grandfather in a way. But
that's interesting you say that. I did.
Yeah.
I told my son was two. He lost his. So my son has never really grown up with grandparents. Oh, today's his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday,
Happy
Michael.
Happy birthday,
and,
Michael.
And
so
he was two when she passed away. And my mother had passed away before he was ever born years and years ago. So he never really grew up with grandparents. So when he was two, I had to explain to him about, you know, death. And I was like, oh, how am I going to explain this? And my concept was, as what I think you're saying as well, is that I said, well, Michael, they're never really gone. As long as you can look in the mirror and see their eyes in you, as long as you touch your skin, that's still part of them. They're
and
still
is,
here. So they will always be with you.
And you know what was also such an interesting experience? Because this book is also a real tribute to my parents. I'm very close with my parents. And in reading about my grandmother's life and her retelling how my parents met and photos of their wedding and me coming into the world and ruining their lives, I noticed that there were things that I took for granted now as I'm an adult. And I don't have children, but I'm very aware, and most of my friends do have children and they're fantastic parents. But the incredible pressure that was on my parents, who were about my age when my grandmother wrote this, to find ways to make my grandmother, who, again, was housebound and very limited and really couldn't travel and didn't get to do a lot of typical grandmother things like going to the grandkids' baseball games and birthday parties, my parents, who were both working incredibly difficult schedules, did everything they could to bring the outside world and our lives to my grandmother in her apartment. And when I think about the press, yeah, I mean, and you know, my parents, my mother was going for her master's degree in English literature. My father was a news writer working the graveyard shift at every, you know, radio station in the city. They're raising a child. And then on top of it, my mother in right before, it was a year before my grandmother passed away. My mother, my freshman year in college, I was off to Haverford College. My mother gets diagnosed with breast cancer. And that kind of thing can really, you know, our entire world was turned upside down, like so many people have experienced when anybody they love is touched by cancer. And she worked double hard to keep our lives normal. And my father, you know, my mother was just incredibly skilled. My father was just incredibly skilled at finding normalcy so that I could continue
with
college. Well,
that you have to give tribute to your grandmother.
Yes.
Because she made them, you know, him that way. And I also, let's get back to the book. In our last 4 minutes, I want to get back to the book. Where can I get the book? Tell
them
again.
You can get it on Amazon.com. Amazon? Yes, or you can look for it through my website at alisongrahams.com. It is not available at the Louvre Museum, unfortunately.
Listen, I highly recommend this book. I know it's a little ahead of time, but it's not a bad Valentine's Day gift to give to your mom or your grandmom. It would make a nice little Valentine's gift coming up. I think my favorite picture is Allison on the stoop.
oh, yeah.
It's so funny. This is one of those books, ladies and gentlemen, that you can pick up and put down and pick up again because I'll find something else in the picture. I said, oh, stick figures. I didn't see those. Where did they come from? And you have, I think, covered every kind of poetic form there is, including you a new variation on the line poem. I guess the only way to describe it is the page poem with a word spacing and on here, but it's really just a lovely book, and even to say it's a book, let's call it what it is, Allison. It's a bedtime story for grown-ups who need to grow up. Available on Amazon, written and illustrated expansively by Allison Grahams, and I would highly recommend it. Actually, go to where'd you say that you have your website? They can go to your website and order it directly as well. And if you have any people listening, if you have any events in the local area coming up and you'd like Allison to come in and do a reading, I'm sure for a reasonable fee, she might be available to come in.
Or I will just stand
and,
on the street
for Well, I really do. I have to say, we're down to 2 minutes. I got to acknowledge the chat room because you have been called a great guest today by Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Etiquette.
Well, you tell her thank
every
you.
Every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And so you want to check that out. So it really is, in the last 2 minutes, I saw this as an animated film, Allison, with your photos.
Wow. Well,
and a voiceover.
That's a huge compliment. I just, really, it makes me so happy.
I think that these, if you had them somewhere and you did them with a voiceover and you reading and showing the pictures, it just would make a great animated film.
Well,
if
I'm just really happy to hear that you think like that, because it was intended to be a real reading experience, both a visual and an emotional and comical experience. And if I accomplish that on any level, then I can live a happy person.
Oh, you did, and it's a great read. I highly recommend it. Go see my review on Amazon. It's a terrific gift, and just honor your grandmothers today. Get her a gift for no reason at all. This would be the book to get, Betty Jo Tucker. I think you'd really, Betty Jo, I'm going to recommend you buy this book. Go on Amazon today and get it.
You're going to force her to buy my book.
No, Betty Jo, actually, she's very, she thinks the same way I did. I actually recommended that her book be made into a movie. Who knew I'd be in it a couple of years later?
Well, this is exciting. I will be first online at the ticket booth for this one.
Well, Allison Grahams, thank you for being a guest today on our show. And everyone, go get this book. I love that you call it. I'd never call my grandmother grandma either. I called her grandma because I couldn't say grandmother with a Spanish accent. Here's Why I Suck, Grandma, A Bedtime Story for Grownups Who Need to Grow Up, AllisonGrahams.com or Amazon. Get this book today, ladies and gentlemen. Get it today. And
thanks
you,
so
Allison.
Much, Nancy.
Is there anything you'd like to add in 15 seconds?
No, you're wonderful. You're a great host and a great interviewer. So it's a pleasure being on your show, and thank you. You make the world a better place.
I hope so, as do all grandmothers. But I'm not in a rush to be a grandmother, Michael. Happy birthday. You're only 22.
Happy birthday,
Love
Michael.
You. Thank you, Allison Graham.
Thank you. Take care,
much.
Nancy. Bye-bye.
You too. This has been Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. Go check out Allison's book today. Please do. It's terrific. And thank you, Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And Marco Polo, thank you too. Bye-bye.